Our scripture today is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's open our Bibles and begin in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, and we will read and study through verse 9. Remember that this chapter especially, and the whole book of 2 Peter, is a warning about false teachers. And so, in the previous lesson, we talked about verses 1 through 3. As Peter begins his discussion of these false teachers, he warns about the danger of their teaching. He talks about what they do and how they work and the people that they lead astray. But he also tells us what God is going to do with them, because he said in verse 1 that they will receive swift destruction. And in verse 3, he talks about their judgment and their damnation. Now, in order to assure us that God is going to deal with these people in his justice, he gives us three examples of God's justice in verses 4 through 9. These are three cases of God pouring out his wrath upon sinners. And he's doing that to give us comfort that God will not let these ungodly false teachers get away with what they're doing. Now, it may seem that they're getting away with it without being punished, and they may, in fact, get away with what they're doing for a while, but in the end, they're going to face the judgment of God. Now, that's what he's telling us in these verses, and so we want to begin in verse 4, where he gives us the first example of God judging those who are sinners. In verse 4, he talks about the angels that sinned. There are some angels that did not sin. There are other angels who did sin against God. What did God do with them? Did he spare them? Did he overlook their sin? Did he fail to punish those angels? No. The Bible says this in verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." Now the thought is this: if God did not spare the angels that sinned, he is not going to spare these false teachers. If God punished these angels that rebelled against him, then he's going to punish these false prophets. Now let's look at this expression, the angels that sinned. There is little that we know from the Bible about the details of their sin. There are some verses that also discuss this, like Jude verse 6. There the Bible says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So Jude tells us that these angels that rebelled against God were not satisfied with the role that God gave them. They wanted to go outside of the realm that God put them in. They wanted to do something other than what God told them to do. So those sinful angels sinned against God. They rebelled against his authority. And in Matthew 25, verse 41, the Bible says that the wicked on the day of judgment will be cast into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So evidently Satan, or the devil, was the ringleader of that rebellion. And what happened to those angels? The Bible says that they were cast down to hell. And if you have a note on the word hell there in the King James Version, you'll notice that it is the word Tartarus, which was a word that the Greeks used for the place of punishment for the wicked after they die. So they are being punished. They were delivered to a place of punishment. And the Bible says they were delivered into chains of darkness. Notice the word chains. That means that they are bound right now. They were imprisoned in a sense. And the Bible says that they are in a prison of darkness. And that word darkness, which is used several times in the Bible to talk about punishment in hell, is one of the most awful and one of the most frightening descriptions of what future punishment is like. So Peter says they are in these chains of darkness in hell, and they are reserved there unto judgment. They are kept in holding until the judgment day. And the point again is that if God didn't spare these angels, He will not spare these false teachers. Example number two is in verse 5, and that is the people who died in the flood. In verse 5, the Bible says, and, that is God, spared not the old world, that is the world before the flood came, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. What were people like before the flood came? Well, in one way, they were normal. They did the everyday things that people do today. Jesus said that they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that the flood came. And Jesus goes on to say that people will be doing the same things when he returns, Matthew 24, 38, and 39. But we also find in Genesis 6, verse 5, how evil these people were. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So these people were constantly involved in wickedness, and when they weren't doing something wrong, they were thinking about it. But the Bible says in Genesis 6 that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Peter tells us that he was a preacher of righteousness. This is the one time in the Bible where the scriptures tell us that Noah was a preacher. So he warned these people, but the people did not listen. And what did God do? He sent the flood anyway. Now the point again is this. If God did not fail to punish the people who died in the flood because of their sin, then God is not going to spare these false teachers. Now, example number three is in verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample, or example, unto those that after should live ungodly. So the third example is Sodom and Gomorrah, and their sin is well known. As a matter of fact, in the book of Jude, you find Jude talking about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and these other cities that God destroyed. And here is how Jude describes their sin. Jude verse 7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is in Genesis chapter 19. And the problem in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and these other cities was homosexuality. The city was full of gays and lesbians, and the Bible says that these gay men surrounded the house of Lot, and they wanted to know these two angels that had come into Lot's house. The Bible tells us that God rained down fire and brimstone from heaven to destroy those people. And so their fate stands as an example for all times. Look at verse 6 again. God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample, that is, an example, unto those that after should live ungodly. So their fate stands as an example for all times. This is what God thinks about the gay and lesbian lifestyle. This is the punishment that God gave to these people to say to all generations of mankind, this is what God thinks about this sin. And so it's no wonder in the Bible that this sin is called sodomy, that people who engage in it are called sodomites. That is what it all goes back to. So nature itself tells us that this sin is against nature and that it is wrong. Romans 1, 26 and 27. And this case of Sodom and Gomorrah is, as the Bible says, a permanent example. God made an example out of these people to show people of all times how he feels about this transgression of his law. Now, again, what is Peter saying to us in this section? He is saying, if you think that God is going to spare these false prophets, look at the case of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because if God punished the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, he will punish these false teachers. That's the context, And that's the point that Peter is making here. Now, of course, as this applies to today, as this applies in the long run to all generations of mankind, it simply means that we ought to look at these three examples of God not sparing the angels that sinned, of God not sparing the old world before the flood, and of God not sparing the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We should look at those three examples and realize that if God did not spare them, and if God did punish them, then He is going to punish sinners today. God hasn't changed. God's nature is the same. God is still a God of love, but He is also a God of justice, and He will judge every man according to his works. There's something else in this passage that we can definitely relate to today. We can relate to the fact, of course, that people are evil, like the people before the flood were. We can see the perversion that he talks about in verse 6 all around us today. But we also find that there are righteous people in these times. And how do they live? What do they feel inside? That's what the Bible talks about in verses 7 through 9. And Peter also talks to us about the fact that God does look out with favor upon those people who are trying to do what's right. In verse 7, he says that God delivered just Lot, that is righteous Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The word vexed there means that Lot was tired, that he was worn out, that he was sick and tired and disgusted with all the things that he saw and heard from day to day. The Bible tells us in verse 8, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." So the Bible tells us that Lot was tormented, and that's what the word means. He was tormented on the inside. He was tortured in his soul by what he saw. Because Lot saw how people acted. He saw how they were dressed, perhaps. He perhaps also saw signs and paintings and sculptures that displayed their ungodliness. He perhaps saw the ungodly places where they went. He also heard things that he didn't want to hear. He heard their filthy language. He heard them bragging about their sin. And the Bible shows in Isaiah 3, verse 9, that the people of Sodom were infamous for bragging about their sin. They display or show their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. This happened, the Bible says, every day. And it was wearing him down. Now, isn't that exactly how Christians often feel today? We're tired of hearing about sin. We're sick of seeing people parade their sins. We're tired of hearing people brag about their sins. We're tired of people trying to impose this ungodliness on us. And so we're tormented or vexed in our souls just like Lot was. The Bible tells us that Lot was tormented from day to day by seeing and hearing all this ungodliness. But he lived through it. And as a matter of fact, the Lord delivered him out of that situation. And verse 9 gives us that promise. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. So regardless of how evil men become, God is looking out for the righteous. God looks down with favor upon the people who fear Him and keep His commandments. And the Bible tells us in verse 9 that God spares the righteous and He punishes the wicked. He does that in His own time and in His own way. And this will be true of the false teachers that He's been talking about who take advantage of other people.